You know, as Vicki was talking about her grandparents and staying over her grandparents, I remember one of the sheer joys of going to my grandparents. We always were there Saturday night and Sunday after church that we could get away with a lot. You know, I remember when I was growing up, and most of us remember the glass 16-ounce Pepsi bottles or Coke bottles, right? Not the little ones like today, if you can run across them, but the 16-ounce ones. And, you know, if we were home, very, very rarely would Mom and Dad ever, ever let us have a 16-ounce glass bottle of Coke all by ourselves. But if we were at Grandma and Grandpa's house, we were almost guaranteed to get that 16-ounce glass Coke bottle. And there's nothing like drinking, an ice-cold Coke out of a glass bottle. I mean, it's simply uncanny. I mean, it's just uncanny. Dawn, there you go. over the last couple weeks, or last week, we began talking about the kingdom of God and how Jesus describes it and how we ought to see it. And this week, we're going to shift a little bit, and we're going to be talking about what Jesus wants to happen within the kingdom of God and how we are called then to live into the kingdom of God. Our scripture this morning is taken from Matthew chapter 6. Just a portion of it, but Matthew 5, 6, and 7, the Sermon on the Mount, is all about living into the kingdom of God. And so really, we're just taking a small snapshot of that incredible sermon that Jesus preached, but this is kind of the pinnacle of it, and so we're going to be talking about some ways that we can live into the kingdom based upon Matthew chapter 6. And this is Jesus speaking. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they love to disfigure their faces to show others that they are fasting. Truly I tell you that they have received their reward in full, but when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moth and vermin destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, so in this famous passage of Scripture, we hear the Lord's Prayer being recited and frequently seen as the ideal format for our prayers, but it also gives us an insight as to what Jesus was thinking about when he was talking about the kingdom and what living into the kingdom might be like. In his example of how we should pray, Jesus says, "Your kingdom come." And it's from this expression of desire that we see that Jesus was very concerned with both his role and our role in ushering in the kingdom of God. That we have a part to play in completing the work that he began. Now, our part is to live into the kingdom of God here on earth. But how do we do that? How do we live into the kingdom of God? And like I said before, you know, 5, 6, and 7 of Matthew all are talking about kingdom of God living. You know, there's more information than we have time to devote to this morning. But there are three simple ways I want to share with us today, based upon our scripture, that we can live into the kingdom of God. And the first one is this: forgiveness. Because you cannot live into the kingdom of God while holding on to unforgiveness. You're right after saying the words, "Your kingdom come, your will be done," Jesus says, "Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors." Other translations will use the word trespasses or wrongs or sins, but the spirit behind all of it is the same. We who have been forgiven are called to be forgivers. Now, that word forgiveness in the Greek is aphemai. And aphemai is a compound word comprised of two parts, apo, which means from, and hemai, which means to send. And so when you put them together, you get this word that means to send forth or away, to let go from oneself. Unforgiveness happens when something is done to us, right? Someone has done us wrong, and we hold on to it. It is in this act of harboring, of holding on to resentment and anger, in this desire for revenge against someone that has wronged you. Now hold out your hand in front of you. Hold your hand out. Now make a fist, make a tight fist. Because this is unforgiveness. Holding on to something, right? Protecting it because you don't want anything to happen to it. You don't want somebody to snatch it away because it's yours. This was done to you. And so you hold on to it, and you hold on to it tight. You know, do this long enough, you're eventually going to get tired. Your hand will start to hurt. If your nails are long enough, you might even begin to cut into your own skin simply by clenching that fist. But what we pray when we pray the Lord's Prayer is not this. It isn't a clenched fist. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, it's aphemai. It is ascending forth. You know, another cool definition I found of this word is to let go from one's power, to let go from one's possession. You know, if you want to live into the kingdom of God, we have to do just that. We have to let go. We have to let go of unforgiveness from our possession. We have to let it go. You know, God sees his own image reflected in his forgiven children. But you know, to ask God for what we refuse, what he has given to us that we refuse to do, is an insult to him. To not forgive when the one who has forgiven us asks us to is just wrong. And if we are going to live into the kingdom of God, we have to let go. We have to let that one go. The second one is this: orientation. You cannot live into the kingdom of God while orienting yourself to others. Now, verses 16, 17, and 18 of chapter 6 talk about fasting. And we've talked about fasting before when we were talking about spiritual disciplines. You know, fasting is that spiritual discipline that we're called to integrate into our lives. It is an opportunity for us. Fasting is an opportunity for us to give up something that is good, right? Food, for something that is better, the presence of God. But I want to look at these three verses a little bit differently, you know, from the lens of the kingdom of God. Just to remind us, it says, "When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they love, or they disfigure their faces to show others that they are fasting. Truly I tell you that they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head, wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father, who is unseen, your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And so in addition to speaking about this discipline of fasting, Jesus is also giving us an important principle of kingdom living. Who are you orienting yourself to? Who are you living for? Whose impression are you trying to gain or to win? Are you orienting yourselves to the crowd, the watching masses, or are you orienting yourself to God? I mean, if we're honest, it can be easy for us to play Christian. You know, there's that old adage that says, I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't chew, and I don't run with girls who do. Right? It's all about the exterior things, things that we can see. People can see you doing X, Y, and Z and conclude that you are, or maybe you're not, a Christian. And while, whereas there are certainly some exterior markers of our faith, Jesus is far more concerned about what's going on inside. And he even says this in the next chapter, Matthew chapter 7. He says, not everybody who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of the Father who is in heaven. You know, play acting the faith is not the same as denying yourself, taking up your cross, and following after Jesus. Because if we truly want to live into the kingdom of God, we need to decide who it is we're going to orient ourselves to. Are we orienting ourselves to the crowd that can see our good deeds? Or are we orienting ourselves to God the Father? Whose approval are we looking for? Are we looking for the adulations of the crowd? Or are we looking for that well done, my good and faithful servant? And the third one is this: your passion or your drive. You cannot live into the kingdom of God with a passion for this world. And Jesus said, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Jesus wants his hearers to know that the kingdom life is found where you place your passions, where you place your drive. And it's not found in stuff. It shouldn't be found in things that are simply going to perish. You know, thousands of years ago, in the very Garden of Eden, humankind had this perfect relationship with God. Right? They literally walked and talked with God. But then they ate from that forbidden fruit of the tree of knowledge, and their eyes were open, and this quest for knowledge began. They and we continue down that path, and we make everything into an idol. You know, earthly relationships can and have been destroyed because a person gets consumed with sports, drinking, golf, shopping, watching TV, surfing the internet, Facebook. You name it, man will worship it. We will have a passion for it, and we will focus on that and that alone. Jesus is simply saying, put your passion, put your drive into something that is not going to go away. Let yourself be consumed with a love for God, and you will be living into the kingdom. Martin Luther once said, what a man loves, that is his God. For he carries it in his heart. He goes about with it night and day. He sleeps and wakes with it, be it what it may, wealth or self or pleasure or renown. The Apostle Paul said it this way in 2 Corinthians. He said, "We fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." Here's an example from Scripture about the story of King Solomon. King Solomon was known for his great wisdom and his wealth. Started off incredible. And Solomon started off beautifully with God. And then his passion shifted. Started focusing upon all of his wives, all of his riches. And he turns away from God. He turns away from God's commandments. And eventually even the kingdom of God on earth, Israel at that time, wound up being divided. His drive to have more and more of things that are simply going to go away serves as a cautionary tale that the consequences of our passions straying away from God and his desires for us. You know, those who carry out the will of God purely for the sake of following God are rewarded. Those who seek after God will find God and will find eternal value. Right? It isn't based upon merit or station. It's simply based upon one's willingness to seek after God for God's own sake. And this is the only requirement. No other preparation, no amount of goodness, no amount of righteousness will allow any one preference over another. All find themselves in this position of the ones who find treasure purposely or accidentally. It's theirs if they will only take it. And church, we are the extension of the kingdom of God here on earth. And this means that we have a duty to live into the kingdom. To live as those in the kingdom should live, and to have a heart that solely seeks after God, not one that is trapped or enticed by this present temporal world. And so I think a question for us as we move forward this week is how are we going to live into the kingdom of God? What is it in your life that you may start or stop? What might God be whispering into your heart that is calling you deeper within his kingdom? Lord, give us ears to hear and a heart willing to follow. Let us pray. Gracious God, thank you for the kingdom of God. This kingdom that exists, it surrounds everything that we see and everything we don't see. Thank you for this kingdom that calls us, that woos us into a deeper and deeper relationship. Lord, help us to see that living into the kingdom of God matters. Help us to see that as citizens of heaven, as citizens of the kingdom of God, we are called to be your ambassadors. Help us to do this well. Jesus, we pray this in your precious name. Amen. You know, this next week I would encourage you to read Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7 and read it through the lens of the kingdom of God. What is the type of kingdom that Jesus is inviting us to be a part of? What does it call on us to do? What does it call on us to be? What does it call on us to give up? Jesus is inviting us to be a part of something that does not belong to this world. He's calling us to recognize the image of God that resides within us. The citizenship, our true citizenship. He's calling us to recognize that and to live it. So Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, that's wonderful homework, wonderful scripture to read. Read that this week. Gracious God, thank you for loving us and for creating for us not just a home in heaven, but a kingdom here on earth. Thank you for inviting us to be citizens of the kingdom of heaven in the here and now. Help us, Jesus, to live out the prayer that we pray every week, your kingdom come, your will be done. Here we are, dear Jesus, please use us. And it is in your name that we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you, everybody. Have a wonderful week.